Yeah, okay, thank you. So what I will be talking about is about a method of proving something or something about the dynamics for dissipative PDEs, okay? So I will come back to this later, okay? I prefer this. Okay, mainly I will be talking generally about the method of self-consistent bounds, which allows the following roughly. We have a PDE, and here we have, let's say, ODE, Galerkin projection. Okay, so here we do some reduction and we see something for this ODE happening, and then we would like to go back, okay? And usually we cannot, because when we do this Galerkin projection, we end up on something which is not invariant under the PDE, so we cannot directly go back, okay? And the one way of going back is to prove that this PDE has, let's say, inertial manifold, and then you are instead of considering Galerkin projection, in principle you can consider ODE on this inertial manifold, and you have the result for your full system, okay? So I will be not talking about this, okay? Inertial manifolds and this stuff. I will try to show you that instead, if you consider instead of Galerkin projection, if you consider here instead of this, you will consider differential inclusions related to Galerkin projections. So differential inclusion plus Galerkin projection, then in fact you can go back and get the results. Okay? So this is So basically this is what this talk will be about, and this example from the type, the heteroclinic connection of Fokura-Motoshi-Wyszynski of PDEs, is just the illustration how this technique works, okay? On this exam, but you will see more or less that a lot of things can be done using this approach, okay? And obviously, and we end up with some computer assisted proofs, okay? Usually there is no way one can do it by hand, okay? It's impossible, basically. Okay, so I call this method method of self-consistent bounds, okay? Self-consistent bounds, okay? So they are involved in producing this and coming back, okay? And in fact, you will see that the results you obtain are for all Galerkin projections starting from some dimensions, and then you pass to the limit, okay? Basically, this is how the method works, okay? So what is dissipative PDE? For the purpose of this talk, it's basically evolutionary equation which looks like this, okay? So here we have, this is a form, Laplacian or something related to Laplacian, which gives you a kind of smoothing. And here you have a polynomial or analytic map, depending on our function and derivative of this function, but the order of the Laplacian should be higher than the highest order used here. Then you have smoothing effect, okay? And then to where this method might be applied. So in this situation when you run simulation of something like this, so you do some finite dimensional projection and you see something is happening, okay? You add some more modes or coordinates, you increase the dimensional projection, and not much changes, okay? Then you are in good situation then for the method to start to be applied, okay? Otherwise, I mean, this means that you just try it with too low dimension or maybe there is nothing finite dimensional really here, okay? But basically, what I would like to stress that basically, when you see this phenomenon, okay, so you have equation like this, and you see that only finite number of modes really matters, then this basically in this situation all finite dimensional theory should be applied, okay? Finite dimensional theory theorems from dynamics, okay, which are kind of stable. I will be more precise later on, okay? And this is a goal, okay? Whatever you see for dissipative PDEs, it's really finite dimensional or almost finite dimensional, you shall be able to prove it, okay, using this approach. Okay, and those facts you would like to prove, you can try to prove using this method should be in some sense stable when you keep adding dimensions, okay? So let me explain it, what I mean. So assume that, for example, we have some Poincaré map for your apparent, you do some high dimensional Galerkin projection and you compute Poincaré map. And it's kind of, you see that apparently the attractor is almost one dimensional, okay? So you see your attractor is, this is one variable, this is other variables, okay? And you see that this attractor is really, has some kind of large expansion in this direction and very thin in this direction, so it looks like it's almost one-dimensional. Then, how you would like to investigate it? Then you look, so you just look, you take a point on the attractor, you look at this coordinate, you look where it returns somewhere here, you project down, and you end up with one-dimensional model, okay? So assume that, so now I'm plotting this map, approximate map on the attractor, okay? So assume you see horseshoe there, okay? So what will be the plot for the horseshoe? Something like this. So I'm plotting the graph of this. So I have here capital P, and it's some map, and my map, small p here, will be p small of x, will be projection of x, let's say, assume that this is 0 here, p x 0, okay? If this line will be 0, so this will be my small, this is my one-dimensional model, okay? And now for this one, on this one-dimensional model, you have horseshoe, because you have this interval, it's mapped, and this interval here, okay? This interval is stretched and mapped across both intervals, and the same story goes for this. Okay, and then for this, you have a theorem which tells you, for example, that there is symbolic dynamics, and to each periodic sequence, you have periodic points, okay? And now, but we know that this thing is many-dimensional, okay? So then, but we know that the image is quite thin in this direction. So we expect the following picture. If I call those intervals A0 and I1, then I expect, so this is my x-coordinate, here I have my I0, here I have my I1. Now I multiply it in transverse direction. So I'm considering set N0 times I0 some epsilon plus minus epsilon, and I will have the picture which will be like, this will be the image of P of I of N0, and this will be the image P of N1. Okay, and then one can prove that if I have such picture, then there is symbolic dynamics, and for each periodic sequence of symbols, one has periodic orbits, okay? So this is an example of theorem, okay? Here was horseshoe in 1D. Then if we add dimensions, but so this is one dimensional model, this is full map. This distance in small is small on reasonable sets, okay? Then I will end up, so small means that, let's say this points here will be mapped somewhere down, okay? Points here will be mapped somewhere up, okay? So this is an example of the theorem and the phenomenon, which is kind of stable if I keep adding, in some sense, contracting dimensions, okay? And if I have this kind of theorem, then it should be possible to, if I see some, to be kind of used in the approach I'm kind of advocating here in a moment, okay? So this is an example of something state, okay? And to do this one, one needs to kind of prove this kind of theorems, okay? That if you keep adding dimensions with reasonable assumptions, okay? Because what is small and where, this is a part of the problem, okay? And then other thing is if you do this in infinite dimensions, so basically how you deal with this infinite dimension, okay? Because you would like to do computer assisted proof, so everything will be, will have finite representation at the end, okay? Okay, so let me skip this. So here is the plan of the talk, okay? So I will focus on Kuramoto-Shibashinsky PDE, okay? Because it's kind of nice example to treat, okay? It's relatively easy. You have one spatial dimension, but still interesting dynamics, okay? Navier-Stokes or Ginzburg-Landau will be harder, let's say, okay? So it's better to start on something simple to not fail for wrong reasons, basically, okay? Okay, and then I will discuss various ingredients needed to accomplish computer-assisted proof of heterogeneity connection for Kuramoto-Shibashinsky PDE, okay? And those are those ingredients here. Okay, so let me start with Kuramoto-Shibashinsky. Okay, so this is Kuramoto-Shibashinsky on the line, okay? So we consider the x is from one-dimensional. This new here is positive, and this term here make it dissipative, okay? So this is the Laplacian squared with correct sign in front, okay? And here I have fourth derivative. Here in non-linear part I have first derivative, so this is where the smoothing effect comes from. And I consider periodic boundary conditions just to have nice coordinates, okay? If you do computer-assisted proof of something which is quite subgroup, let's say, not some kind of attracting point, etc., you will need always coordinates, okay? And those, so we use periodic boundary conditions and we use also odd boundary conditions. Odd boundary conditions are used because basically if you would like to make computer-assisted proof using this kind of topological approach I'm using, you will need to have at some moment isolation, okay? You cannot have continuous family of solutions, okay? Because then you cannot use any kind of computer-assisted topological tools. And this equation does have trans. You can shift in space, okay? You have continuous one-parameter symmetric group related with time space translation, so you need to break this to be really able to accomplish a computer-assisted proof based, let's say, on this topological approach, okay? So this is the reason. It's not that I need really to use this odd boundary condition. No. Okay, and as new changes, okay, so this is some pattern-forming equation, okay? So it's kind of normal form of the evolution of the propagating front for reaction-diffusion equation, okay? And as if this new here is large, that then apparently everything is attracted to zero, and as new decreases, we have bifurcation going from zero, and then dynamics becomes more and more complicated, okay? And the method I will be discussing in a moment. I use it to get fixed point periodic orbits, heteroclinic orbits, although this will be discussed today. I'm working on this and some bifurcations. Okay, so all those things have been done by me for this system. Those are computer-assisted proofs. Okay, and basically, and I'm working with Fourier coefficients. Okay, so if you plug in Fourier expansion into Kuramoto-Shibashinsky PDE and assume everything converges, you end up with something which looks like this. Okay, so you have this linear part, and this comes from this quadratic part. Okay, and you see that this and this new here is positive. That if chi is large enough, then this becomes negative and grows to minus infinity, like k to power 4. Okay, and this is this damping term. And so when one runs simulation, one see indeed that apparently only finite number of modes is important. Okay? Because from the form of the equation, it's not obvious. This requires always analysis. Okay? And for Kuramoto-Shibashinsky, there are proofs really that there is a compact attractor. Okay? But okay, but I'm not using this fact. Okay, so there are some analytical results related to Kuramoto-Shibashinsky for Kuramoto-Shibashinsky equation, and but again, those are kind of very global results. Okay, there is a compact global attractor, compact in fact, but I mean you will not get any more information from those proofs. Okay, but important fact for us is, it's also by product of our approach, that Fourier series of all invariant objects converge very fast. They in fact, those functions are really analytic, okay? All invariant sets consist of analytic functions. And this is a general fact for this kind of equation. It does not depend on the fact whether one has proven that you have semi dynamical system or something like this, like global existence of solution. No, it doesn't depend on this, okay? Okay, this I commented already. Okay, so there is finite dimensional inertial manifold. Okay, but again, it's not of much use in rigorous numerics because the dimension of this inertial manifold is usually seriously overestimates what is there, and on the other hand, it's kind of hard to get in rigorous way get a hand on it to use in computations. And the method is also divided for the situation where it is known that there is no inertial manifold. Okay. Let me skip this. Okay. So now let us focus. What should be accomplished to obtain the proof of the existence of heteroclinic connections? So for ODE. So consider an ODE, because we will, the point is that what I'm really doing in this method, I'm really investigating ODEs, Galerkin projections, uniforming all Galerkin projections at the same time, okay? I'm getting uniform bounds and I'm passing to the limit, but I'm using finite dimensional methods, okay? So for ODE situation, I have like this. So let's call this target point, and assume this target point is attracting, okay? And here I have source point, and here I have one-dimensional unstable manifold, okay? So this is unstable manifold, and so this is my source point, okay? I will refer to this as a source point. And then I take, so the strategist proves the existence of this point, attracting point, with explicit range where we know that we have, that everything here is attracted to this, okay? Then prove there is unstable fixed point and give explicit bound for unstable manifold, that I know that my unstable manifold leaves this set here through this space, okay? And then I take the whole, I don't have point here, I have only estimate. And then I take the whole thing and I integrate forward in time until it enters here, okay? So this is the strategy for the proof, though this is quite, so this is the easiest situation. We have here attracting fixed points, and here we have one-dimensional unstable manifold, so we just have to really follow what this unstable manifold is doing, okay? One can imagine more complicated situation when the target point has one-dimensional unstable manifold and two-dimensional unstable manifold is here. And yeah, and this is also doable, but again, this I didn't did it, okay? But you will see, I mean, that it will, that because in those proofs, the matter is also whether you will do the proof in reasonable time, okay? It takes thousands of years, so it's, you cannot try to do this, okay? So, but basically, so you see what the ingredients are necessary, okay? Proving existence of fixed points, and if the fixed point is attracting, prove that there is some set, explicitly given set, where everything is attracted to the fixed point, and then build the set. Basically, we build set which is called isolating block here. So it's vector field pointing inside on those faces. So, and this is one-dimensional direction here, and here vector field is pointing outside. Plus con conditions, plus here we need con conditions to obtain this picture that the unstable manifold is really a graph over this unstable direction. And you need explicit bounds. Here what one needs is proof this fixed point again and explicit bound for the set where this is attracting. So here I need to prove Lipschitz constant for the flow will behave like this, e to minus lt, okay, with this l positive. I will construct such set, okay, and this part involves rigorous integration of the, I will say PDE, but in fact I'm integrating all Galerkin projections at the same time with dimension starting with sufficiently high dimension, and then I draw the conclusion about the PDE. Okay, so in this sense I'm integrating PDE. In fact I do rigorous integration with uniform bounds of family of ODEs given by Galerkin projection. Okay, so those are the ingredients. So those are kind of obvious stuff, okay, for the, this is how you will proceed if one would do it for ODE on the plane, okay? So the whole thing is that one can do it in infinite dimension to obtain computer set proof, okay? Because everything of this picture is kind of well known and kind of easy, okay? Okay, so first of all, how we treat this infinite dimension? So as I said, so since there is a strong damping, so I would like to work with those, with this, I would like to solve this equation for those Fourier modes, okay? I will write it like this. And here is nk of a, okay? So this is my linear part coming from Laplacian. This is non-linear part, kth coefficient, and I have an infinite number of them. And I would like to restrict to good sequences, and it turns out that the good choice is that I will be working with sequences which are in such sets. Okay, so this small n is apparently the dimension where the whole phenomenon lives. Okay, those are the main modes, and to this I will refer to tail, and I will be assuming that my coefficients are within this limit. Okay. C divided k to power s, okay? So this roughly corresponds to the fact that I'm really be working with functions of class CS, okay? With h large enough, okay? H should be, s should be large enough for everything to converge, okay? And if I will need more convergence, one can put even here the term which will be decreasing geometrically. Put here and here the something q to power s k over s, okay? With q smaller than 1, then I will be in the analytic case. And yeah, so basically, if I'm working on such sets, that this I end up with even in infinite dimension, I end up with the vector field. So this is my PDE with the vector field really being continuous function on this. I mean, in fact, infinity, whatever series, Taylor series you need for everything converges. So basically, when you restrict to such sets, you obtain nice vector field. Okay. And moreover, okay, so if I scale this W and tail, then I can put in such set any CS function, okay? And this set is compact, okay, and our vector field is very smooth on this, in fact. And even more, on such set, as long as I'm in such set, I have local semi-flow, okay? The problem is that I can leave this set, okay, and then what, okay? So I really have to require some more conditions on how I choose this C and S, okay? And this is the Collett isolation. So this is an important notion in the context of this talk. So what isolation means that is the following. Okay, so this is my Rn, and this is, I just plot one dimension additional, so this will be Ak, okay, with k larger than small n, okay. So here somewhere my set W, and now I consider a set Ak plus Ak minus, okay? And I want the following. If I look at the vector field, then the vector field is pointing inside. Okay? And this is very important for the method, because then if I have initial condition somewhere here, okay, then my solution may leave this set only either this way or this way, never through the boundary in the tail, okay? And the whole method is basically this, that if I can tell something about a solution of So when I integrate forward, okay, somehow, okay, I start somewhere here, okay. I will not really compute what happens for the tail, okay. I will be computing what happens on those main modes, okay. This here I will have differential inclusion, really. This will be clear in some way. But as long as I don't leave this W here, I know that I'm not also not leaving through this, okay. And this way I will obtain bounds, uniform bounds for all Galerkin projections. I will be more precise in a moment, okay? But to have this picture, so this is an infinite number of inequalities, okay? Because this goes, this k is basically in Kuramoto-Chojnicki k, those are all natural numbers. So we want ak to decay like k to power s, and also this to hold, okay? And it turns out that it's always satisfied, provided your m is large enough, okay? So if you are after some compact object, you can always get this. So this is kind of abstract theorem about this. So now I'm again in abstract situations, so I consider periodic boundary conditions. This is some polynomial or analytic function. Okay, this is Laplacian type operator. So now, if I plug in series into this, okay, and I assume that my AK, BK is like just as I just said, then the series for Fourier coefficients, BK, like K power S minus R, okay? So we lose R derivatives, okay? So this is roughly the statement that our U was of class CS, and if and our N of this thing is of class C minus R, okay? And this can be done in uniform way. This S could be computed if you have an explicit formula for N, okay? So now, once we have this, and assume that our vex Laplacian type operator is like this, minus k to power p times ak, okay? And this p is larger than r, okay? So then I really have this picture, and here is the short computation which is required, okay? So I compute derivative of ak0 when I'm on the boundary, okay? And so this linear term is giving this, c k0 power p, this is from the Laplacian, minus s, this is this, and this is just k0 r minus, okay? So we see that this power is larger than this power, so basically we have this isolation picture if we take n large enough, and our object is quite of compact, okay? Because if we will keep increasing dimensions, then our W will also kind of change, okay? We are after really some compact object, so. And this computation, I mean, it does not, if I will consider, let's say, Navier-Stokes, then my A case will be really balls, okay? Decaying like K to power S, and the same computation will hold. Okay, so basically, it's easy really to get this isolation, okay? For this kind of equation. And now I will discuss general idea. How it is possible at all to have those uniform bounds for Galerkin projections, all Galerkin projections, when we are working with such sets, okay? So assume we have our system. Okay, and then, so this is our system of equation to solve, okay? Again, there is infinite number of them. And now we split our phase space into main modes and the tail, okay? So from what equation on tail you would like not to compute, basically, the evolution. You would like to use the fact that we have an isolation, okay? So what equation do we have for main modes? For main modes, we have this equation. This is Galerkin projection on main mode. And this is influence of the tail, okay? Because we want to be rigorous. This is not that we ignore the tail. We cannot ignore the tail. So if we just know that our tail is modes sit in that our those other modes sit in tail, okay? Then on the main mode we have this differential inclusion, okay? And on the tail we will use to make tail smaller in the next time step, we will use just linear equation, okay? But we can just ignore this. We can just tell that we just enter inside and we don't know how much, okay? And now, so basically, we would like to draw the conclusion. So assume we know how to integrate rigorously differential inclusion, okay? I will not enter into this. We know how to do it, okay? Then observe what we get in this way. Okay, let's keep this. Okay, so this is our differential inclusion, okay? This is Galerkin projection, and this is a reminder of the coming from the tail, okay? And now, what we know is that if I take let's think of this, okay? Consider Galerkin projection. So for Galerkin projection of dimension high enough, this is really a curve, okay? Starting from here. For other Galerkin projection, this may be different curve, obviously, okay? But if we project this on bottom, okay, then both of those curves satisfy my basic differential inclusion, this one, as long as I stay in set W, okay? Because I have this picture only, basically, as long as I know that my tail is isolating, maybe stated this way, okay? So the idea is that if I can integrate this differential inclusion, and this goes somewhere there, and on the way does not leave set W, then I know for sure, okay, that for all Galerkin projection, my solutions went from here to here, and they stayed, the tail stayed in here, okay? This is a basic idea. Okay. And basically, when I say that I can integrate this differential inclusion, this means that I'm investigating all C1 possible solution of such differential inclusion, and all of them exist over the time span under consideration, okay? And they go from there to there, staying still in the set W, on which we know that we have isolation, okay? Those are the consistency conditions. Okay, so here is a statement of what I just said, okay? Assume that we have the self-consistent bounds. Basically, this means that this tail is decaying fast enough to make various things compact, and we have this isolation picture. Then, if I have my solution of differential inclusion defined on zero on this interval, so this means there was no blow up in the meantime, okay? Then I have uniform bound for all Galerkin projections, okay? This is for projection of the solution for of Galerkin projection onto my main nodes. And on tail, I know that I'm staying in tail, okay? And so imagine how I can get, for example, attracting periodic orbits without really proving that it is attracting, okay? But if I have differential inclusion, I can define a Poincaré map, okay? The image of the point is a set, okay? And assume that I have So this is my Poincaré section, and this is the image of the whole set, okay? This is Poincaré map, Poincaré for my differential inclusion, okay, of N. And then what happens in, if this will be on the plane, okay, then I have the conclusion that there is a fixed point, so this means that this is periodic orbit. But now I consider those Galerkin projections. So now consider that we're adding those additional dimensions, okay? So instead of this set, we consider n times ak, let's say, plus, minus, okay? Finite number of them, okay? Because I want some Galerkin projection, okay? Smaller than some n tilde, okay? And I claim that I have this picture again, okay? Because on main modes, this is what I get from those computations, and on other modes, vector field is pointing inside, okay? So in other direction, I will also have the same, okay? So basically, if you have some kind of isolating block or this kind of stuff, then if you're adding those additional dimensions coming from tail and you know that vector field was pointing inside, you still have isolating block. This is an example of isolating block, which is good for application of various fixed point theorems or whatever we are after. Okay, and now our tail decays fast enough so we can pass to the limit with, let's say, those fixed periodic points, okay? We have more, we have some uniform bound of return time, and we obtain in this way, for example, periodic orbit, okay? So basically, what I tried to explain was the following, okay? One can get uniform bound if one can do this isolation, build a tail, which turns out to be quite easy. Then one can do rigorous estimate for all Galerkin projection, and there was an example how this reasoning might be used 2-octane, let's say, something which is apparently attracting periodic orbit. Okay, and in fact, this is how I proved one of my periodic orbits, okay, for Kuramoto-Shibashinsky. Okay, so now let us skip. Okay, so this is all what I wanted to say about this rigorous integration, okay, for PDE. So those are kind of basic principles, okay. This isolation allowed me to get rid of really of infinite dimension, but I needed to consider differential inclusion, okay. And there is a lot of issues of doing this effectively, and so one can obtain reasonable bounds, but I will not enter into this, okay. So now let us discuss about how one gets fixed point with explicit estimate of this attracting region, okay? Just to show you that it's really finite dimensional theory applied in kind of good estimates, good uniform estimates that can be carried over to infinite dimension, okay? So basically I would like to, the idea is for fixed point, okay? So I construct trapping region, the vector field is pointing inside, not only on the tail, but also in this W path, okay? So then I'm getting fixed point, and I'm passing to the limit, and it's there, okay? And the other thing is, I need to prove that everything inside my set is attracting to this fixed point, okay? And I will be doing this by computing explicitly the norm. I mean, I will show that that the Lipschitz constant for the flow inside this is given by this expression with this L positive, okay? And in fact, I will have this for all Galerkin projections again. Okay, and for this, to have this to work, I mean, standard estimates from the numerical analysis textbooks will be like this. If I consider x prime equal to f of x, then the Lipschitz constant, then one obtains like theorem like this. E to power, and here one will have a bound on something like this, times t times, sorry, times initial condition, okay? Okay, and this is something terrible, okay? For us, because, I mean, this is always positive, okay, basically, and this could be positive even if the equation is really strongly contracting. The advantage of this is that it's valid in both time directions, really, and but we need something which is valid in one direction, okay? And this something is are so-called logarithmic norms. First of all, this is not a norm. Can be negative, okay? Basically, this is a definition, and you can see that, so this is the largest eigenvalue of symmetrization of the matrix, and here you, for max norm, this is you look over the rows, you take absolute, you make a sum, you take absolute value for off-diagonal term, but on the diagonal you leave this term without this, okay? And this can be negative, and see, and in our situation, those things are going to infinity, to minus infinity quite fast. Those are going to plus infinity, but slower, basically. So in fact, those numbers, if I take Galerkin projection of and compute df of my vector, those numbers are really bounded for Galerkin projection uniformly. This in fact gives me semi-flow. Okay. So, and here is a theorem which tells you that in this estimate, which is classical, let's say, we can put L, which is the upper bound on logarithmic norm, okay? So the statement is kind of more general, okay? So this is our ordinary differential equation. Phi is the flow, and Y is approximate solution, okay? This is, so this enters here, and then the estimate of the difference between flow and approximate solution is, this is this really Lipschitz constant for the flow. If y will be solution, then I will have not this term, okay? So So this is an explicit estimate, and what is important for this type of equation, this L turns out to be uniformly bounded if I will keep increasing the dimension, okay? So basically from this one can, having this and having those tails, we can pass to the limit and prove that all Galerkin projections converges, and we have semi-flow, okay, in fact. So to obtain, so here is a theorem, okay, general theorem. So I have trapping region, okay, so this is basically, I have this. So in my W, I have this picture, okay, and on tail, I have this always. And then this is the logarithmic norm computed. So this is for max norm, okay? And they are uniformly bounded, then, so this is easy to achieve for our system. And then I have theorem that I have semi-flow. So Galerkin projection converge, okay? One can give explicit bounds for the error, but for us, what is most interesting that this Lipschitz constant for the flow is the, logarithmic norm gives me the flow, I mean this L in the this, and if this L is negative, then I'm getting attracting fixed point. Okay. Okay. So let's. So basically, but for us, what is important, I have an explicit set on which I know that everything is converging to zero, okay? To fixed point, okay? I don't know the fixed point analytically exactly, but I know that everything is converging to zero, okay? Okay, so now let us discuss how to get this, okay? So first of all, we need to obtain this isolating block, okay? Which looks like, if you take linearization of the hyperbolic fixed point, okay? And in those coordinates, you take a product of cubes. So you will basically obtain, if those sizes are small enough, you will obtain this kind of the picture, okay? Unstable directional exit set, stable directional entry set. So from just this picture, you have the fixed point, okay? This is a theorem, okay? And again, this is for all Galerkin projections, and since our tape decays so fast, we obtain fixed point for full system, okay? And then we need more, okay? We need, because we would like to have that our invariant manifold goes from here to here, okay? Leads through this phase, okay? And for this, we need some kind of con conditions, okay? And those con conditions, I prefer this formulation. So I use quadratic form, okay? So unstable directions are plus, L2 norm of in unstable direction minus, not L2 norm, x squared where x is unstable direction minus y squared where y is, in unstable direction. This part is infinite, but since our tail is decaying so fast, so everything is converging, okay? And now, assume we have this, and then we have the following conditions. So let me, maybe I will explain where they came from, okay? And then we will come back to the theorem. So basically, the approach is the following. If we have this quadratic form, okay, then okay, so think of equation which looks like this. Okay, x prime equals x, y prime, let's say, equals minus y, okay? Then the following quadratic form. If I take this x squared minus y squared, then this thing decreases along trajectories, okay? So basically, this is positive cone. Here, this Q of x, y, this is my Q, is positive. This is negative, so this is positive cone. So we have basically this picture, okay? Now, in fact, we have this picture relatively to each point. If we will sit at this point, we'll move forward in time and draw what points are doing, they will do roughly the same, looking from this point. And this, it turns out that if we consider this function, q minus the my quadratic form on the difference of 2 points, it turns out that this function increases forward in time, and moreover, this phenomenon is stable. If I use some in C1 norm, let's say, if the, or something like this. Okay. So basically, the approach is that to use this quadratic form argument to prove that. So this is that if they are increasing, so this is like 2-point Lyapunov function. If it's increasing, then I have my unstable manifold. And state manifold and unstable manifold is like this. Okay, so when one computes what it means that this function is increasing, one ends up with something like this. There should be, brackets here and here. Okay, so this is p1 minus p2. This is d. This is d, which is an average of the derivative along the interval connecting P1 and P2. So this has something to do with the derivative, and this is symmetrization of this. So this thing should be positive for all possible minus P1 and P2, okay? So this is how the cone conditions are expressed. And then, so this is a statement, okay? And since we have to show it on the whole interval, okay, we have to consider here all possible matrices we can obtain in this way, okay? So this is this interval enclosure, okay? So we want this thing to be positive definite, and then theorem tells us that our unstable manifold is a horizontal disk in this set, which means that this is a graph over this unstable direction, okay? And it leads through this and satisfies this cone condition, okay? That if I take 2 points, they are in positive cone, one with respect to another, okay? And again, so it turns out that, okay, and this, those are infinite dimensional matrices, okay? But again, they are converging fast enough, because those W, so this is an infinite sum, but this W is difference between 2 points from the tail, and this is why everything converges here and makes sense. And so we have to prove that this matrix really is something like positive definite in infinite dimension, okay? And it turns out that basically, since our matrix is really dominated by the diagonal, okay? So it's dominated by the diagonal for high modes, okay? For low modes, we just diagonalize, okay? We choose good coordinates, okay? And it turns out that it's quite easy to satisfy, okay? So basically, for main modes, we have to really kind of do some work, do diagonalization or something. For high modes, it's no problem, the diagonal dominates. So, okay. Okay, and just to, and then one can give you an impression of the size of this set, okay, just for Kuramoto-Shibashinsky. So basically, this distance is something like 0.7. Size of this is, the size of this is like 0.75, so this is half size, okay? So the whole thing is 0.15, and here is the radius is 0.06, okay? So those things are, in the best of the world, I would like to have really this part end up somewhere here, okay? I will not need to integrate, but in fact, even if you see some large basins of attraction, so what you can prove is usually quite tiny. But again, for the purpose of the proof, it's important that this face is not too far, as far as possible from this, and this neighborhood is not too small, okay? But those are actual numbers, okay? So basically, it required quite long computation to get from the neighborhood of source to the neighborhood of target, okay? So for the zero, okay, and in fact, this point is known, okay? This is just zero. This is But what was needed is, was really to construct this isolating block around zero and check those con conditions, okay? So this is this epsilon from the con condition, and then, okay, so the, and you, and here you can also see, for example, what is the formula for the tail, okay? This kind, so this is quite large number, but in the denominator we have k to power 16, okay? And this set was large in, relatively large in this direction and small in other one, okay? Those are other directions. Okay, and so, and this small n, so this is the dimension of Galerkin projection, I'm just finishing, okay? It was 8, okay? So this is for the target. So here you, so basically here you would like to have this set as long as possible and small in this direction. Here you would like to have the whole thing quite large, okay? So, and I use a smaller dimension. And tail was is larger, considerably larger than here, okay? So this is k to power 10 in the denominator. And this logarithmic, now this L from the, which is here written, what I wrote somewhere here was this minus L here, this is this thing, okay? It was, okay. And the integration, yeah, so it took this number of time, or this number of time steps, okay, for rigorous integration to go from here to here, and on this laptop it was around 2 minutes, okay? Yeah, so. Okay, so just to show you some possible conclusions. Okay, so basically, again, I claim that virtually whatever is kind of state in dynamical system, state which in the sense I explain it, I mean, it should be doable within this context, okay? This does not depend upon the existence of kind of global existence of solution in time or et cetera for PD, or even on the existence results, okay? But probably there will be always existence results when you can apply this method, okay? But again, this does not depend upon anything from PDE theory, basically. Okay. Okay. So to concede, to apply, to get more kind of finite dimensional results in this context, one needs algorithm which computes, which do C1 computations, so not only computes the images, okay, but also the some estimates for derivative with respect to initial conditions, okay, and this is again possible, and in fact I think Gianni Arioli and Hans Koch did this, okay, they have a C1 algorithm. Okay, so this is all.
Thank you. Thank you.